And will you pray with me? Almighty God, inspire us by your true and living Spirit, that we may know more of what it means to be your children, and that we may faithfully respond to the call of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, the one in whose name we have gathered, and the one in whose name we pray. Amen. Well, let's face it, the guy had skills. He was a gifted speaker. Many people really enjoyed his writings. He was able to bring together a large number of people behind some common goals, to a people who had been hurting economically and some even emotionally. He gave hope. And this group that seemed destined for destruction, well, they really got behind this charismatic leader. And for some of them, things really got better. Wow, sounds like a good leader, doesn't it? I could be speaking of just about anybody. Jesus, the Apostle Paul, Martin Luther King Jr. But I actually have someone quite opposite in mind. Hitler. On the surface, he looked like a great leader to a lot of people. Germany was in destruction following World War I, and he brought hope to some. Think about it. He had amazing gifts of administration, of leadership, of speaking. He had charisma. Just think what he could have done had his goals been different. He claimed to be bringing unity, but he was scheming, because it was a unity based on exclusion at the expense of many people. Consider the stark contrast. Ephesians 4 calls us to maintain unity through peace and love. But Hitler and the Nazis, they wreaked havoc and murder against the Jewish people. And if you believe something different politically, look out, there would be no peace for you. Ephesians 4 says that we have received gifts to build each other up, to help each other grow into the full maturity of Christ, to be fully who God created us to be. But Hitler and the Nazis claimed that many people were less than. The idea was not to lift them up, but to tear them down and remove them from society. If you were a person of color or of another nationality, look out. If you suffered from a mental or physical challenge, you were of no use to them. If you were gay, you were told you need to be something else than what you are, or suffer the consequences. It's a pretty harsh image to start a sermon off with, Hitler, isn't it? But it really shows the stark contrast of the image we see in Ephesians 4 and the way we sometimes get it in the world. It reminds us that sometimes things look good on the surface. For those people whose lives had been turned around following World War I, it looked like a good thing. Hitler seemed to be a good thing to those people. But this stark contrast is also a warning that we can use our God-given gifts and talents for tearing down, even though they have been given for building up. And if we're honest with ourselves, at least it's in a much milder form, but we still exclude today. Think of how we measure success of an organization. The church is an organization, and typically when we look at a company or some organization, we think they're successful because they're lean and mean. They do more with less. And so in order to make that happen, we have reorganizations that get rid of those dead weights. We restructure in such a way as to get rid of those people with different ideas who are a little different, who don't quite fit the mold of the organization. And if you're running a business for profit, this seems to work. But we have to be careful that we don't bring these ideals into the church. Now, over the past few weeks, Pastor Elisa has led us through considering that we are each gifted We all have gifts of the Spirit, and these gifts are for leadership. Sure, they're different tasks, doing different things, but no one is greater than the other. So when we take those gifts and apply them in leadership in the church, we have to be careful not to bring these worldly values into the church. Because the church plays by a different set of rules. It has different goals in mind. Our goal should never be to push people out who don't seem to be performing. Rather, we should take the time to nurture them and to help them grow into success. Sometimes we have to help people, as we've been doing over the last few weeks, to discover what their gifts are and to apply them and to use them. Because sometimes we try to use gifts that we don't have and we're spinning our wheels. Our goal should never be to get rid of people who think differently than us. We should never try to get rid of people who are different than us. Rather, we are to try to incorporate them and even some of their ideas into this broader picture, this broader image, this broader goal of building up all the individuals and the community as a whole in love. You see, the church is not a place for amputation. The church is a place for reattachment, for engrafting, for implanting. The church is a place of healing. It's a place of growth. It's a place for each of us to discover the person that God has created us to be. People who are gifted to worship. People who are gifted to bring God's healing into the world. People who are gifted to bring unity. Reverend Mike Slaughter is pastor of Ginghamsburg United Methodist Church in Ohio. It's one of the larger United Methodist churches in the nation. I got to see him several years ago at a church conference, and he told this story that has stuck with me. You see, his church has this ministry called the Cookie Patrol. And on Sunday afternoons, a group of people gather in the church kitchen, and they make a ton of cookies. And then they take these cookies and to first-time visitors of the church as a way of saying welcome and thank you for visiting with us today. Well, one day a lady came to him, and you could tell she was excited. She said, "I just had my kitchen redesigned. It is awesome, and I want to participate in the cookie patrol. And tell you what I'll do. I'll make you dozens and dozens of cookies. I'll bring them to you each week so that you can deliver them. But Pastor, I just don't have time to come down to the church on Sunday afternoons." Well, Pastor Mike responded, "You see, we don't need your cookies. We need you." Mike knew that what was important in this ministry was not the cookies. The important thing were the relationships that developed out of working together. But of course, our society, it says that success is to be measured by efficiency, by easiness. That's what's important. Success is found in arriving at a finished product as quickly and easily as possible. And that's some great advice if you're a manufacturer of cookies. But the church has a different set of goals. You see, the church is more concerned with the journey than the destination. The church is more concerned with the journey of walking with God, walking with our neighbors, and even walking with our enemies. The church is more concerned with the journey of following Christ anywhere and everywhere that Christ leads us, taking time along the way to discover more of who we are and the gifts that we have to worship, the gifts we have to bring healing, the gifts we have to bring unity. The church is more concerned with the journey of having to give of ourselves, of putting ourselves out there, of being willing to be vulnerable. What we see when we get it right in the church is that efficiency and easiness is not always the best way. As Pastor Elisa noted earlier, I've had the pleasure this year since last October of being a part of the Disciple One class that met on Monday evenings. Well, this last Monday, we took some time to share with each other what that class had meant to us. And Liz told us that she used to try to do Bible study the more efficient and easy way. Sit down at home in the comfort of your own couch and read. But she'd get bogged down in those long lists of names and those laws, and then there were all these questions that there were no answers to. But what she found by being in this community of Disciple One people was a willingness to keep reading through those long lists of names and those crazy laws. She found in community new insights, a few answers, and even a few more thought-provoking questions to consider. Speaking of questions, John came expecting easy answers, expecting everything to line up like A, B, C, D, E, F, G. He didn't find that. But he found that he was not alone in his questions. He found he was not alone in his desire to learn, and he wasn't alone when it came to the joys and struggles of life. Abby shared that in reading before class, often things seemed to fit up really nicely, worked really well. But then she'd get to class, and someone like Mackenzie would share how she was really struggling with a passage. Someone would share a different take on a passage. And she said, that made me think more deeply. It made me consider what I thought of that passage and what I believe. It was more enriching, though much less efficient. I mean, think about it in terms of worldly standards. We spent 34 weeks together and only covered 80% of the Bible. I mean, how many of us will blow through a novel twice this thick in a matter of days, and we took 34 weeks and didn't even finish it? That's not efficient. It's not easy. But each person, as we went around the room that night, shared that this was one of the most fulfilling ways they've ever studied, because it brought together a very diverse group of people, sort of a microcosm of what this church is. And it brought them together into a deep friendship, into a deep love, where each person there were equals. No one was better than anyone else. And where, as Mackenzie noted, you could feel safe to share your difficulties with the Bible and difficulties with life. It was a place where each one was lifted up and encouraged to grow into the fullness of Christ. So friends, I welcome you to the church. I welcome you to the body of Christ, where our org chart is flat as a pancake and is wider than the skies. Because no one is more gifted than anyone else. We all grow together into the fullness of Christ, our head. Welcome to the church. Welcome to the body of Christ, where we're not all that efficient, where things aren't always that easy, but where, when we get it right, when we use our God-given gifts for building up and not for tearing down, we find that it is a place of support and love that helps us to be all that God has created us to be. To be loving people who worship, who bring healing, and who unite together. Amen and amen.